singing. How are y'all doing this evening? Very good. Tired but good, right? This old body gets tired, and some of y'all are older than I am, and that's all I'm going to say. I don't want Bibles getting thrown at me tonight. But God is good. God is good. We're living in a... We have a good God. A very, very good and gracious God. Well, I'm glad. Hope you're glad you're here tonight. You could be other places, but I'm glad to see some smiling faces tonight. It doesn't mean we're not going through trouble. We don't have trials. We don't have circumstances, but God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. And I thank God that He's there for us. And I'm gonna have a problem with these chairs. I'm gonna have to talk to the pastor. He's senior, so I guess I ain't got much of a say so. But I don't know about these chairs. We may have to move this out a little bit more. But anyhow, I'm moving right along. I want to talk tonight about when God stretched out His arm, when God stretched out the arm of the Lord, and when God's hand moves. Because we're living in a day and a time where we need to see the arm of the Lord stretching forth out His hand to save. And we're just living in a day where we need to see the hand of God move. I didn't say a man, I said the hand of God. Because there's a distinct difference when man moves and when God moves. When God moves, things happen. When God moves, things on x-rays disappear when God moves. When man moves, things come back. But when God moves, things happen. Father, I want to thank You for this evening. I want to thank You for the privilege and the honor of being able to deliver Your word, Father. Father, I just thank You, Lord. We want to see You move, Father. Lord, we want to see the glory fill the temple so that even the ministers can minister, Father. So, Lord, have Your way in this place. And have the preeminence in this place, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have to excuse me because it humbles me. I don't see how some men and women do it. I don't see how they get behind the sacred desk and just, like, it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal. It's a holy, honorable, holy thing. But God is good. Ah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I know I'm nothing, and He's everything. Guess that's why He chose me. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. I'm going to start out with a script. You don't have to necessarily turn there, but for scripture reference, Job 40 and verse 9 says this. Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? It asks a question mark in there. Hast thou an arm like God? And you know, Brother Jimmy, he's got some pretty big arms, but he doesn't have arms like Jesus. He doesn't have arms like the Lord. And see, we're living in a time and a day where men and women are trying to be the arm of the Lord instead and let the arm of the Lord do what the arm of the Lord needs to do. And we need to let His arm move in power and His arm move in strength. His arm is not short that it cannot save, the scripture says. It is mighty in battle, the scripture says. And we're going to go in a little further on this. But I just found it interesting that I don't know why the Lord always likes to wait till 5:30, but He always likes to wait till 5:30 to give me a message. I'll be over there praying. I'll be like, Lord, time's ticking. Yeah, I got to look up scriptures. If You give them to me, you. But He knows what He's doing. The Spirit of God knows what He's doing. So Job 40 and verse 9 says, Hast thou an arm like God? And it poses a question mark. Or canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? Isn't it amazing? We got ministers today that think they can just call things that not as though they were. They can just call and speak things into existence like there's some God. Let me tell you something. They're not God and neither are you. There's only one God and His name is Jesus. There's only one Savior and His name is Jesus. When he brought us out of darkness and transformed us out of the kingdoms of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son, He did it with a mighty hand. Make no mistake about it. All the minions of hell did not want you and I to get saved, but they could not stop us from getting saved once Jesus and the Holy Ghost began to convict us and we determined in our heart to get saved. There was nothing the enemy could do to stop that because God's arm is mightier. God's strength is mightier. We serve a good and gracious and mighty God. And it's time that the children of God begin to declare His goodness and His might once again. Because we do serve a mighty God. We don't serve some weak, milquetoast basted Jesus. We serve a mighty God. We serve the King of the universe. We serve the champion of the universe. We're not going into battle with a general who doesn't know what he's doing. We've got generals out in the east today that are trying to win a war that they cannot win because it's a spiritual war and it needs to be won on the soil of America in prayer. Thank you for the amen. But they're going to war with generals that don't know how to fight this battle. Let me tell you something. Jesus knows how to win the battles. He won it. I'm going to tell you something. If we went to the book of Revelation, we already won. We've already won the battle, but we've got to go through some things. We've got to endure to the end so that we can be saved. We must endure. If we don't endure to the end, we're not going to be saved according to the Scripture. I don't care if you get saved. Well, Jesus died once and for all. Yeah, he did die once and for all, but you still need to endure. I was on the way to take my mother-in-law into the airport this morning at 3:30 and went to bed at 1 o'clock because of some teenage family situations. And if y'all got teenagers, y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, I got to bed about 1 and got up at 3:30 to make sure she got the airport at 4:30 because she had to take a flight at 5:30 to head back home. And thank God she came and helped us out because she was a help. Believe you me, she was a help to me. So I didn't have to do some things, but anyway, she was a help. But God knows how to. I went home and said, Lord, you're going to have to strengthen me. You're going to have to give me grace today because I didn't get much sleep, Father, and I want to be able to minister your word effectively because it's important that we minister his word effectively. Thank you for the amen. We got too many people that want to play with it and think that this isn't a holy sacred thing when it is. It's a holy and sacred thing. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And if we the righteous would run into him, we would be safe. But we don't always want to run to God. Why is it that we don't want to run to the one that loved us and saved us? Why is it that we don't want to run to him for safety? We want to necessarily run away from him, or we want to run to and fro and here and everywhere but to Jesus. And we need to run back to Jesus because he is our arm of safety according to the Scripture. He is our arm of safety. There is no other safety out there for you and me than Jesus. You can trust in your 401k, but your 401k might crumble. Then what are you going to do? I got a little bit of a 401k, but if Publix went bankrupt, I'd be sunk. Then what? I'm going to trust in the Lord. God's going to take care of his. God's going to provide for his. But you got to be his. Exodus 3:19 says this. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. Let me tell you something. The enemy is going to put up a fight for souls. But I'm going to let you know something. There's one mightier that says, when it says, let my people go, he's going to have to let those people go. And when we stand as his ambassadors, and we stand as his men and women of righteousness, and we tell the enemy to let those people go, the enemy's going to have to, by the authority of Jesus Christ, let those people go. I'm going to read on verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with my wonders. Oh, it's a different story when God stretches out his hand and he begins to do things with his wonders. We've seen what the wonders of man can do. It's time we see what the wonders of our great God can do. Which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Let me tell you something. The enemy's going to put up a fight. He's put up a fight for our loved ones for many years, but he has to let them go. He doesn't have a choice. He can hold out as long as he wants to. Bottom line is, the time will come when he will have to let them go. Brother Venable waited for 30-something years, but he had to let them go. Your sons, your daughters, your husbands, the enemy will have to let them go. Because we serve a mighty God whose arm is not short that it cannot save. He is going to save those that want to be saved. He is going to deliver those that want to be delivered. And he's going to answer the prayers of the righteous. Make no mistake about it. If you're right with God, he's going to hear your cry. He's going to wipe away your tears and he's going to answer your prayer. Because we serve a mighty, mighty God. We don't serve some Buddha that's dead. We serve a God who hasn't been felt with he's felt the very infirmities, the very pains and anguishes that we've gone through. Jesus has felt those. He knows what it's like to fast for 40 days and have the enemy tempt him and overcome that temptation. That is the very God that we serve. That is exactly why he sent the Comforter to comfort us, because he knew we were going to need help in this fallen body, in this faulty body. He knew we were going to need a Comforter. He knew we were going to need the Holy Ghost to comfort us. And I will stretch out my hand. Oh, I love it when God talks like that. Because when God talks like that, things are going to happen. And smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. Boy, Pharaoh didn't want to let those children of Israel go. He put up a fight, and he didn't want to let them go till the plague started coming in Egypt. Till plague started happening. He didn't want to let those people go, but when the plagues began to happen, they weren't plagues from the devil. They weren't plagues from the enemy. They were plagues from the Lord. When the Lord begins to do things, and when the Lord begins to set judgments in the land, things are going to begin to happen. But isn't it amazing? All I hear about is faith. Let me tell you something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it's not in faith. It's in God who raises the dead. It's faith in Jesus. It's not faith in a man. It's not faith in a woman. But it's faith in Jesus. It's faith in Almighty God. Psalms 24:8. And I know I'm moving quickly. But Ditter said I had to preach fast, so it's her fault. I'm just kidding. God is good. And I'm telling you, He wants to move by His sovereign Spirit. But He wants us to get lined up with His Word so He can move. Because He cannot move for us unless we're lined up with His Word righteously. Thank you for the amen. Didn't get a one, but it's true. You can't expect God to answer your prayer if you're living in sin, because He don't hear sinners. He'll hear the sinner when the sinner repents, but He will not hear sinners that are in sin. Thank you for the amen. I know that's hard to swallow, but that's just the truth. 24:8 says this: Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Let me tell you something. When we go to battle with a mighty King. We go to battle with a mighty God. There's none greater than King Jesus. He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. There's none greater than our great King. I'm telling you something, it's time that we get our backbone back, and it's time we begin to stir ourselves like we've never stirred ourselves before, and we begin to realize we've already got the victory. The victory is ours. We just need to walk over, and we just need to possess the land. I don't want to be like the children of old that didn't possess the land, that didn't want to go over and take the milk and the honey and eat of it and drink of it because of unbelief. Let me tell you something, there is a sin in the church. And it is the sin of unbelief. It is the sin that God can't heal miracles or God can't heal this. Let me tell you something. God can do exactly what He wants to do in the time that He wants to do it. God can do it and will do it if we'll allow Him. But the church doesn't want to allow Him because man wants control. Man wants to have control of the organization and the operation. Get man out of the way for once in our lives. And let's see what God can do in the midst of a church organization. Let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Let me tell you something, church. We need God back in the church today. More than we need Him in America, we first need Him in the church. We need ministers with the fire of God that will preach the truth whether they lose their jobs or not. So God can move. God looks for a man between the porches and the altars to intercede. And there's times He hasn't found none according to the Scripture. And I believe there's times now that we should pray more than we ought. And I'm just as guilty. I'm in this with y'all. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm in this with y'all. So bear with me. We do a lot of talking. We need to do less talking and more praying when we're together. When we're together and we're fellowshipping today, there ain't nothing wrong with fellowship and there's nothing wrong with a barbecue. I'm all for Him. But I want to see God move. I want to see God move like He did at my mom's house. You don't understand. If He did it once, He'll do it again. Devils will come out. People will be healed. People will be saved. God will do it again if we line up with His Word. But we've got to line up with His Word. Not what I think, not what you think, what God's think. That's it. If God said it, that settles it. There is no discussion. He said it. Let's follow it. That needs to be the motto of the church today. If God said it, let's follow it. Let's be believers. Let's follow and do what He said. Not what the church says or what a man says, but what Jesus in the book in the Bible says. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We're in a day and an age where we're hearers and not doers. And it's time that we become doers and not just be hearers only, but doers of the word. I had to go to my father-in-law's house, and I stopped at the gas station across the street because I'd worked a lot of hours, and I needed a banana. I felt my potassium was low, so I went in and got a V8. Well, on my way in to get a V8, I saw this mother and daughter stranded, so I said, I'm going to see what I can do. Their car was overheating, so I lifted up get the radiator cap. I said, do y'all have water? They said, yeah. I got the water. I said, you need to start your car. Well, why? It's hot. I know, but if I put this cold water in your hot car, it's going to blow it up. So please start your car. So I started the car, and I got done. Got it cooled off. I said, okay, y'all are good. Well, how much will you? You don't owe me nothing. Just have a nice day. And I didn't tell them I was a Christian. I just helped them out, went and got my V8, went to my father-in-law's house, did what I needed to do, and then went back home. See, when we do good works, it's going to glorify Him. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be glorifying Him. We don't need to be worried. I'm so tired of seeing men and women take the glory of God. Let me tell you something. God will not share His glory with another. He will not share His glory with another. God will not share His glory with another. If there's a CD being taped and you get this CD and you're a minister, He's not going to share His glory with you, sir or ma'am. He's going to share His glory with Himself, and that's it. Because it's Him. He sent His Son to die and bleed on that cross for you and me. Now, I didn't die for these people and neither did you, but Jesus Christ did, and that's who should get the glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. That's in the Amplified in Psalms 24:8. Let me tell you something. God's mighty in battle. God hasn't lost any victories. Thank you for the amen. We've lost some victories, but Jesus and God have never lost some victories. We've lost in victories because of our flesh and because of our weaknesses and because of our limitations. But our great God has never lost a victory. And He never will lose a victory because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So if you've been praying for your lost loved one, you just need to hold out a little bit longer because the King of glory is going to come in and you're going to see a mighty deliverance. Not because I said so, but because His word said so. I'm so tired of so-called quote-unquote prophets getting up and prophesying and nothing happening. If you're going to call yourself a prophet and you're going to prophesy, then I want to see something happen. I'm just calling it like it is. I'm sorry. That's the sign of a prophet according to the word of God. Am I wrong? They're going to call themselves, and if they're going to call themselves a prophet, they don't need to be watching Harry Potter either. I'm sorry, guys. I'm tired of the phony baloney on the TV. When we have a real God that will answer real prayer, that will give real miracles. Isaiah 40:10 says this. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. I'm going to read verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let me tell you something. God's arm, boy, is it mighty. You see some of them bodybuilders with those big old biceps. They got 40-inch biceps. And some women look at them and they just go, Lordy, 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 have mercy. And then they just get all goo-goo-eyed and say, look at them big old arms. Let me tell you something. God's arm's bigger. May not be bigger in size, but it's bigger in might, believe me. God's arm is mighty to save. God's arm is mighty to save, and He wants to save. He wants to save. He wants to save. I'm going to go to Ezekiel. I think I'm going to go to Ezekiel. Lord might change my mind. Ezekiel 20:33. God wants us to talk about how mighty He is. Because our faith begins to get built up when we begin to talk about how mighty He is. We begin to look to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob again, because there is no one other else we need to look to other than Him. And we begin to talk about what God can do and what His hand can do. It begins to stir something in each and every one of us, and we need to do it because God wants to move in our behalf. It don't matter if we're known or if we're ever known, if we're ever not known. God wants to move for you and God wants to move for me. I'm seeing Him change the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father in my own life. So get ready. I'm just waiting on the Holy Ghost, so y'all just have to bear with me. Thank you, Father. Ezekiel 20 and 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with a fury poured out, I will rule over you. Let me tell you something. I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out from the countries we're in. This is prophetic, and I know it hasn't happened yet. But let me tell you something. It doesn't change the fact that God's arm is still strong and is still mighty. He still wants to deliver us, and He still wants to be a father and a shepherd to us. And we need to allow Him. I know this is prophetic, but I'm going to tell you something. It can be prophetic in our life right now because His arm wants to move. As I live, saith the Lord, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. Let me tell you something, church. I want you to think about this. I want you to visualize this. What was Jesus doing when He was on the cross? His arms were outstretched, and He was redeeming you and me from the enemy. With an outstretched arm, He was redeeming us. His arms were on the cross. He was stretched out, and He was redeeming us. Why? Because His arm was stretched out. With a mighty hand was He redeeming us. I know it looked like a defeat to the enemy, but was it a mighty defeat, and was it a mighty blow to the enemy when His arms were stretched out and He gave up the ghost, and on the third day He rose again. God stretched out His arm to redeem us. God stretched out His arm in the Old Testament to deliver the children of Israel. God stretched out His arm in the New Testament to deliver you and me on the cross. Hallelujah! God wants to show forth His might. God wants to show forth His strength. And we're His ambassadors. We're the only people that can let this world see His strength and His might in our daily life. When we go to the grocery store, the gas station, wherever we might be, we're the only people that are going to see Jesus. We're the only ones that can... I was talking to a man yesterday. I had to go pick up my daughter. My son graduated. Thank you, Jesus. Got one through high school. Hey, he accomplished something I didn't. I gave him kudos because I was hard on him. I said, you're going to graduate whether you like me, hate me, or dislike me. You're going to graduate because I didn't, and it's important to me. And Alice graduated. Don't know how he did it, but bottom line is he did it, and that's all that matters. But anyhow, we had to go pick up Ashley, and there was a young man there. And he... gone to private school his whole life, been to church, been to our church, been to this church, and he goes, but I got some questions. I said, what do you mean you got some questions? God's going to set things up for you, and God's going to set things up for me to minister so God can stretch forth His hand to save those that are lost. As I was talking to this young man, he goes, I just got some questions about the Big Bang Theory. He goes, you can't really believe Noah's Ark was real, can you? I looked at him and said, his name's Mark, so pray for him. I'm going to go by and visit him and talk to him some more. I said, Mark, I said, look at me, sir. I said, I'm not saying this to be mean, judgmental, or anything, but you went to private school, correct? He goes, yes, sir. I says, you went to church, correct? He goes, yes, sir. I says, you went to all those things, but you were never born again. Because if you were born again, you would never have those kind of questions about the Big Bang Theory or whether Noah's Ark was real or not if you were ever born again, sir. So my question to you is the scripture says you must be born again and all these other questions will be taken care of. But if you got some questions, I'll be more than happy to go through the scripture and answer them with you. But I'm telling you, the biggest thing I can tell you is you need to be born again. And that's all the time I had to tell him. But he was told. See, we need to tell people they need to be born again. We need to do it in love. I wasn't judgmental. I wasn't rude. Heather was looking at some pictures, and Ashley was over there looking at the pictures, and me and Mark were sitting at the table, and I said, Lord said, go sit down in that chair next to him. And I said, I know what's coming. As soon as the Lord says that, I said, oh, Jesus, you're setting me up again. But you got to be obedient. So I went and sat in the chair and said, and we just began to talk and told me about his life and told me he visited our church and how he grew up in a Christian school. But see, that's just it, church. Christian school don't save you. Churches don't save you. Only Jesus saves. We got so many people going to church, but we got so many people that aren't born again. Because our life doesn't change. Born again brings change. Old things pass away. That's the only salvation I know. I don't know this salvation where you get saved and you're still on drugs and you're still on crack. I don't know that type of salvation. I know a salvation where when you get saved, old things pass away and all things become new and you're instantly delivered. That's the only salvation I know because that's all I've ever seen. Thank you for the amen. That's all I've ever seen as a kid growing up. That's all I've ever seen in my adult life. That's the only salvation that I look for. Old things passing away and all things becoming brand new. Translated out of the powers of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son instantaneously. Sanctified, and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost as soon as you're born again. I know there's doctrines out there that say you got to work up to it and you got to clean up, but if Jesus can live in you, I believe the Holy Ghost can too. Because they're one and the same according to the Word of God. But church, God wants to move by His mighty hand. When God stretched out His arm on the cross, it was to redeem you and me. God stretched out His arm in the Old Testament to redeem His precious people time and time again when they would get into bondage. But let me tell you something. There's a difference in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and the difference is this. They would go back into bondage. When we get free, we're free indeed. And we can stay free as long as we stay close to Jesus. It's when we don't stay close to Jesus that we can get entangled again in the yoke of bondage according to the Word of God. But as long as we stay close to Jesus, we're free, church. I heard two amens and a bunch of holy grunts. When we're free, we're free. We've got so many churches with so many bound, quote-unquote, Christians in them that God has to start in the church before He can start in the world to get us free. Because what good is it for me to go tell Mike if he's in the world in sin and on Prozac and on Ambien and all this? Hey, Jesus will give you peace and I'm going home and taking two Ambien to go to sleep. Where is our peace, church? If we got Jesus and the Prince of Peace, where is our peace? Where is our God? Who has a God like our God? We got the sign right there, but do we have Him in our home? Do we have Him in our life? Do we have Him when we're driving in the car? I'm going to say this, and I might get myself in trouble, but it's okay. I'm used to getting in trouble, and I'm used to standing up for what's right, even if I have to stand alone. But Christians don't need Prozac. I don't care who they are, what their name is. They don't need Ambien. If you're going to serve Jesus, serve Jesus. That's the problem. We're so busy, we don't have time to seek God anymore. And that's the trouble we, the church, get into, is we don't run to the strong tower where we can be safe. We run everywhere else and to every doctor, but we don't run to Dr. Jesus. You against doctors, Brother Sean? I'm getting to that point. Yes, I am. I'm going to be honest. When they paid $2,500 out of your checking account, I'm getting against doctors. Yes, I am. I'm just being honest. I'd rather give that $2,500 to the gospel. May come to that point, my brother and sister. May come to that point where we let our insurance go and God take care of us like He said He's going to take care of us. May get to that point. What's really important to us. If it means me not being able to pay my tithes or have health insurance, health insurance can go, and I will hold God to His word. Lord, You said You're going to take care of us. You said we're going to walk in health. You need to help me out here. See, that's the problem. We don't try to prove God like He asked us to. We don't try to prove God. We try to prove everything else except proving God. Not that we're some spoiled, rotten children. Well, God, You need no. God don't need to. Lord, Your word says in Malachi that prove me herewith, saith God. And see if I won't pour out unto you the windows of heaven. Now, you have to be walking in obedience for Him to pour out the blessings on you. Can't just walk into disobedience and expect him to pour the blessings out on you, because it's not going to happen. I don't care who said what preacher, what quote-unquote tapes you got. It's not going to happen. God will not violate his word. I don't care what your name is. He will not break his word for you or me. He's going to stick to his word. It's going to endure forever according to the word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word will abide forever. So we have to line up with the laws and the statutes of his word to walk in the blessings that everybody wants to walk into, but nobody wants to walk into the statutes and walk line upon line and precept upon precept like Jesus asked us to. Oh, but we want the blessings of God. We want to walk in the fullness of life. We want to have our bank accounts not run empty, but we don't want to follow his statutes and forgive and love and turn the other cheek and do all the things our master asked us to do. Boy, it just got quiet in here. Y'all were just shouting a second ago. But I'm telling you the truth, and you know I am. See, we want God's blessings, but we don't want his statutes. You can't have it both ways. If you want his blessing, you have to follow his statutes, and then you will get his blessing. No different than my son. If he hadn't went to high school, he wouldn't have got a diploma. Can't just on graduation day show up, never went to school your whole life. Whoop! You're not going to walk and get a diploma. It's not going to happen. But yet we live in a generation where I can just live my own life and do my own thing, and God's going to bless me. No, he's not. No, he's not. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants your obedience. And if you're a real child of God, you want to be obedient. It's the rebels that he's going to take care of. I don't know how many sifting this church has been through, but it's been through quite a few. And it may go through some more. Oh, Brother Sean, how low can we get? I don't know. However low we need to get to see the Spirit of God move. Because that's what I want to see, the Spirit of God move. Are you pointing a finger at anybody? No, I'm not pointing a finger at nobody. I'm just telling you, whatever God has to do to get us down to the nitty-gritty so we can have a move of God, that's what he's going to do. Because he's God and he wants to move. There are people that don't like coming when I minister. That's fine. They can stay home. I don't want them here. Why do you say that, Brother Sean? Because Jesus did. Jesus went to pray for a young lady. They were laughing at him. They were coughing, and he said, get out of the room. Because I don't want somebody coming here if they're not going to believe God and they're not going to come into agreement with God's word. I don't care if I'm 37 years old. God anointed me, and I'm going to be very careful with what I say. God appointed me here, and I'm going to deliver what God has for me to deliver. And it can go to the pastor, and he wants to question me. That's fine. But I don't want him here because I want to see God move. And I'm not being prideful. If they want to humble themselves, they want to come, hey, I'm more than happy to have them. But if they want to stay at home because they don't think I can teach them anything, I'm not the teacher. The Holy Ghost is. I'm just man enough to know that. And humble enough to know that I'm not the teacher. I'm just the messenger. I'm sure not the teacher. There's only one teacher. His name's Jesus and the Holy Ghost. We're living a day, though, where, well, I'm apostle this. Yeah, okay. Whatever. But God wants to move, my brother and sister. God wants to move by his sovereign spirit, and God wants to stretch forth his hand for you and me. Because we're his children. And he wants to, it's no different. How many parents we got in here? How many grandparents? How many of y'all love to do things for your children? Everybody loves to do things for God's no different. But we got to line up with his word for him to be able to do those things. And we've got to expect him to do some things. We got to have a spirit of expectancy. When we pray, we got to expect God to move like we used to. We used to expect God to move on Sundays. We used to expect God to move on Wednesdays when we would meet. Well, by God, church, it's time we start expecting God again to move. And it's time we start expecting him to save, to deliver, and to heal like he said his words, like he said in his word he's going to do. He's going to save, he's going to heal, and he's going to deliver all those that call upon his name. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved according to the word of God. And that's the bottom line. That's what we want, is we want to see souls. I don't want to see us run the church and not a soul get saved like we have in the past. I'd rather a soul get saved and then we can run the church. Deuteronomy 6:21. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there. I'm already halfway there. You can write it down. I know some of y'all will go home and study and check me out. That's good. I like that. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Let me tell you something. When we got saved, we were taken out of the kingdom of darkness with a mighty hand. It took a mighty hand. It just didn't take my hand or Mike's hand. It took a mighty hand. And the only mighty hand that could do it is the hand of God. The only mighty hand that could do it is the mighty hand of Jesus. That's the only hand that could do it. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 9, verse 29 says this. Yet they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. Let me tell you something. I love that stretched out arm. I was sitting there at 5:45, and the stretched out arm part came across my mind, and I said, man, stretched out. And then the Holy Ghost said, look, stretched out arm. Wasn't Jesus' arm stretched out on the cross when he redeemed us? Yes, it was. His arms were stretched out so he could redeem us, because he could not redeem us unless he passed away. Unless that precious blood had been spilt and he had died on that cross and rose again on the third day, because he had to rise again for us to not be dead in our sins. But thank God he did. Thank God he rose from the grave, and he's the only one that did rise from the dead. So that makes him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's king in heavens and he's king underneath the earth. He's just king everywhere. That's why I'm glad to be serving this king, because we're not going to lose a battle with our King Jesus. God wants to stretch forth his arm for us, my brother and sister. He wants to move in our behalf. We're not letting him know. We're not expecting him to, but God wants to move. God, when we get a headache, instead of taking an aspirin or an Advil, he wants us to say, Lord, thank you for healing this headache. Brother Sean, you're crazy. Yeah, I am. But you know what? Let's slay the lions and bears, and when the giants come, we'll be able to slay them too. Thank you for the amen. David didn't slay the giant first. He slayed the lion and the bear first. We're going to pray for a cancer and can't get a headache healed. Oh, thank you for the amen. We're going to pray for a cancer and can't get a headache healed. Something's wrong with this picture. I'm not saying God won't heal the cancer, but God wants to heal the headache too. The headache's just as important to our great God as that cancer is, because we're his children. And I know sometimes you get pressed and we're under pressure, and it's easier to walk into that cabinet and grab the Advil or the acetaminophen and pop two and drink them down with a glass of water and go about our business. But sometimes we just need to sit and wait for God's hand to move. It might be 5 minutes. It might be half an hour. It might be an hour. But I think it's worth it. My wife will sometimes look at me and she'll go, what's wrong with you? And I'll say nothing. And she knows there's something wrong with me, because my wife knows me. She goes, you got a headache. Go take some aspirin. No, I'm not. And she gets upset with me. Thank you, Brother Taylor. She gets upset with me because it's only because she cares. That's how you wives are. Y'all care about y'all's men. And I said, honey, it's okay. I prayed. God's going to take care of it. Brother Sean, you're crazy. No, I believe God's word, and I expect God to move, and I want to see him move. See, it starts with the lions and bears, church. We're not going to slay no giants unless we can start with the lions and bears. Let's get the headaches healed, and then when somebody comes in with a cancer, we can get that healed. I'm not saying God won't heal the cancer, because God will, because he's an almighty God. He can do what he wants to do. But what I am saying is we need to put our money where our mouth is. All of us believe God will heal. So the next time you get a headache, let's believe God. Next time I get a headache, let's believe God. Call somebody on the phone that's God will encourage you. Hey, I got a headache. Will you pray with me? Will you believe with me? Don't call that somebody that's going to tell you to take an aspirin. That's the worst person you can call. Because your flesh is going to say, yeah, it is easier to take an aspirin than to believe God. Because our flesh is lazy. Our flesh don't want to believe God. Our spirit man wants to believe God. But our flesh doesn't want to believe God. Our flesh would rather take that aspirin. Our flesh would rather take that acetaminophen. But our spirit wants to believe God, because his spirit now lives in us. And we are the church. Thank you for the amen. As Brother Venable said this morning, we just meet here. But we are the church, the temple of the Holy Ghost. But God wants to move by His mighty hand. Well, I'm in Deuteronomy. Let me go to chapter 5 in closing. Y'all getting out early. See, it's dinner's fault. She told me to preach fast. I'm just kidding. I don't go any further than the Lord lets me go. I learned a long time ago. I'll see people preaching, and you can tell when the Spirit of God lifts, and they keep trying to preach and keep trying to. And I'm like, just quit. Just stop the service. You're not going to accomplish anything without God's Spirit. So stop already. In closing, Deuteronomy 5:15, Doug, would you come? That don't mean I won't have other things to say. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. I could go on and read, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord God hath commanded thee, that thou days may be prolonged. Boy, we got people dying early because they don't want to honor their mother and father, and that it may go well with thee. Boy, I can remember being a kid. Mama always quoted this to me. Now I'm preaching about it. In the land which which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Boy, it's Ten Commandments. I wish this could be in the courthouse and in the schoolhouse. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Neither shalt thou. Oh, they don't want in the courthouse because we got too many judges committing adultery. Neither shalt thou steal. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. So, I mean, you know, we don't want to see that because then it holds us accountable. We don't, us Americans, we don't want to be accountable no more. We're too tired to be accountable. We don't want to be accountable to God, man, or nobody. But we're all accountable to God, whether we want to be or not. Just because they're not serving God today don't mean they're not going to bow before Him one day. May be too late. But every knee is going to bow down and say He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow. My knee, your knee, the Japanese, every knee is going to bow and say He is Lord. Would you please stand? When God stretched out His arm, whoo, mighty things happened. When God stretched out His arm on the cross, He redeemed you and me. Oh, that was the greatest miracle of all. That is the greatest miracle of today is salvation. Still to this day, salvation is the greatest miracle. It's not the healing of the blind eyes. It's not the healing of the cancer. But it's the healing of the soul. The healing of the spirit. That is the greatest miracle today and every day. That's all God cares about. Is seeing souls get saved. So they don't go to a... They're not damned to hell. That's why He sent His Son Jesus, is to redeem mankind. But it's up to men and women, boys and girls, whether they accept this King. We can't force nobody. We can't demand anybody to serve Jesus. We can't demand anybody. All we can do is say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you so you'll have a change of heart, because you can talk to some people till you're blue in the face and they just don't want to listen. Their eyes haven't been opened yet. But one day their eyes are going to be opened. And when those eyes are opened, they're going to see the glorious light of the gospel. They're going to see the glorious light of the gospel. My brother and sister, I want to encourage you to believe God like you've never believed God in your life. Because you're an eyes... And our survival depends on it. Because we're not living like we were 10 years ago. We just can't let some things go like we used to let them go. We need to believe God like we've never believed God before in all our life. That means you're going to get ridiculed. That means you might get laughed at. That means you might get scoffed. And it's okay to get scoffed by the world. But it's hard to get scoffed by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because they say they have a headache, and you say, well, let's pray, let's believe God. And instead of them praying and believing God, they go take an aspirin. And I'm not against aspirin. I just want to see the lions and bears get slain so we can kill the giants. Because there are giants that we need to take care of. In our homes and our lives and our everyday life, there's giants you and I need to deal with, and we can't deal with them because we haven't slain the lion and the bears that have come in our life. We want to try to kill that giant when we haven't even killed the lion and the bear. We're anointed. We're God's children, but God teaches us some things through life. God teaches us some things through history. If we look at the history of David, David slayed the lion and bear, and then he had the confidence to kill the giant. We've tried to go out and kill giants, and our confidence have been flattened because we tried to kill the giant instead of killing the lion and the bear first. And then going, because we killed the lion and the bear, now we have confidence that our sword of the Spirit is going to work because we killed the lion and the bear. Now we can kill that giant that stands before us. Thank you for the amen. And I want to see giants fall. And I believe we've got some giant killers in this room. But I believe also that there are smaller giants that we need to take care of in our own personal lives. And you and God know what they are. I ain't the convictor, the Holy Ghost is. But you and God know what they are, and you and God need to take care of them. I can't take care of them for you. Only you and God can. I've learned that a long time ago. I'm glad God delivered me when I first started ministering. All I got to do is deliver the message. It's up to y'all what y'all want to do with it. Thank you for the amen. Once I deliver the message, guess what? I'm clean. I can go home and sleep like a baby because believe you me, I am. But once I deliver the message, now if I just come up here and I had to change the message and went somewhere else, guess what? I ain't going to go home and sleep good. But I don't play that. If God gives me something, I'm going to deliver it. No matter if y'all look at me like I'm like a cat at a new gate, I'm going to deliver it because I'm going to worry about obeying Him, not whether y'all going to like me or not. I learned that a long time ago because not everybody's going to like you and love you. They might tell you they love you and like you, but time will tell. Time tells all. But most of you in here love me and tolerate me, and I thank God for you. So, Brother Doug, anybody need prayer? Anything, it don't matter. I don't care. Don't matter what it is, ingrown toenail, it doesn't matter. God cares. I don't have any, so don't be pointing a finger at me, Sherry. Trying to lighten y'all up a little bit. Y'all need to lighten up a little bit. I know it gets serious, but God is good. God loves us. God wants to move on our behalf. God wants to move for your children. God wants to move for your family. God wants to move because He loves you and because He cares for you and because He wants this gainsaying world to see that we have a God that moves in the behalf of His people. That when we pray, things happen. And I can tell you that I haven't always had the respect of my mother-in-law, but it's an amazing thing that every time trouble comes, she always calls Heather, "Hey, you and Sean pray for this. You and Sean pray for that." So God's working in mysterious ways. Haven't had a salvation yet, but that will come too. I'm a firm believer that that will come too. And her father gave us a compliment the other day. He goes, Heather said something, I forget what it was, or Linda, her mom said something, and he goes, no, he goes, you know, I don't know what's gotten into Sean, but there's been a difference in him. And I said, aha. I needed to hear that, because sometimes you go through some lows and some highs, and you wonder, am I really making a difference in this old world? Are people really seeing Jesus in me? I know none of y'all have that problem, because y'all more spiritual than I am. See, because God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. Y'all are wiser than I am. So just leave this weak man alone. I'll be okay. But anyhow, God, when my father-in-law said, I just took a step back and said, wow. All right, Lord, help me, Jesus. Because I know something's fixing to come, because Lord knows how to keep us humble too. He don't want us getting into pride. There's nothing wrong with being confident in your God. But listen to what I just said, in your God. Not in yourself. Not in your quote-unquote anointing, but in your God. People are anointed, but it's God that saves, it's God that delivers, it's God that heals, it's God that sanctifies, and it's God that saves. We can't do any of that, but God's arm can. So if nobody has any prayer, give us a good going home song, brother. And y'all just say, y'all are dismissed. Lord bless you, keep you, make His face to shine upon you. Hallelujah. Good night.